Welcome to Stress Less Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. I'm your host, JJ Frederickson. Hello and welcome to this episode of Stress Less Radio. Have I got an amazing half hour for you today? If you recall last week, I was going to tell you this week about this amazing book I read and how it has changed my life. And because of my life changing, I'm changing the life of other people as well. So I'm going to start off the show with that. And then later in the show, yes, I am going to make you wait, build up the suspense a little bit, but we are going to talk about the secret to a happy life. Yes, I said later in the show, segment two, we will be talking about the secret to a happy life. But first, let's start with that book that I read. So my friend is a big Ashley Judd fan, my best friend is, and she kept telling me, you know, you need to read Ashley's memoir. You really need to read her autobiography. It's really good. I think you'd like it. I think you'd relate to it. You really should read it. And after she nagged me for a while, I said, okay, I've got it on my Kindle, but I still resisted reading it quite a bit because, you know, I wasn't an Ashley Judd fan. It's not that I don't like her or anything like that. She's just not an actress that I've ever followed or anything like that. So finally, I decided it was time I was going to actually plow through the book. And she told me it was a long book, which I'm fine with long books, but here I'm thinking it's about something I don't really care about. So the idea of a long book wasn't too appealing. So finally, I picked up the Kindle and I started reading, and I could not put it down. I plowed through that book. The book is called All That Is Bitter and Sweet, A Memoir. And again, it's by Ashley Judd. And it just blew me away. Now, I didn't know much about Ashley before reading the book, except that she, you know, was a Judd, as in Winona and Naomi, and that she was married to a race car driver. But when I read the book, her life as a child and young adult, it really spoke to me. You know, we had very different childhoods. There were some similarities here and there. But we both grew up, here's the big thing that caught me, is that we both grew up stuffing our needs. And just in case my mom is listening, which she often does, it wasn't my mom's fault. What happened in my situation, I've mentioned it before, that we were in a single parent household. I was the oldest child trying to help my mom as best I could. I didn't feel like I could add to her burden by bringing up my needs and my wants. So I'm the one who stuffed them. She in no way, you know, forced me to or reprimanded me or anything. But I just had this feeling like I didn't want to be a burden. And in Ashley's situation, very much the same type of deal. So for Ashley to get around, and I'm talking about Ashley Judd if you're just tuning in, to get through that and actually uncover herself, she ended up in an addiction treatment program for codependency. So you might remember that her sister Winona went through treatment for food addictions, and Ashley went and visited her during the family week and really decided that she needed to stay for codependency. And just, again, a very interesting read, and hearing it coming from the whole codependency side through the 12-step program was really interesting to me. Now, I've healed most of my, you know, childhood wounds, if you want to get deep about it, through life coaching and personal growth. And so it was very interesting to see how Ashley Judd dealt with her childhood situation. And here's another parallel for the two of us. We both also, in an effort to become more, to feel our wholeness more, to feel more like our authentic selves, we both do yoga and we both study philosophy and other religious and spiritual traditions outside just the Christian faith. So, like I said, her personal life and my personal life, very different, but a lot of parallels that I could relate to. And I'm guessing that many of you out there can relate to as well. Now, here's the thing that I totally did not know about Ashley Judd, is that she is a humanitarian. She was made ambassador for PSI, and PSI is a global nonprofit organization that's dedicated to improving the health of people in the developing world. So they focus on things like family planning, which is a big one, HIV and AIDS, maternal health, and the greatest health threats to young children, such as malaria and malnutrition, here in these third world countries. So Ashley Judd isn't one of those celebrities that just flies to Africa for a day of photo shoots to lend her name and her face to the cause. She gets down into the trenches. And I'm reading this book, and what that means is she is especially attached to the HIV/AIDS portion of things. She's very, very inspired and friends with Bono of U2. And so she really gets into the HIV/AIDS situation. And that means that she is visiting lots of brothels where there are prostitutes and sex slaves, and she works with them one-on-one, teaching them health, basic health, like I said, maternal health, and of course, prevention, HIV prevention. And so she's working with people who are dying as well of HIV, and she's working with their families and sick children and giving them hugs and just visiting their homes and the hospitals. She's visiting the most impoverished areas in the world and some pretty dangerous ones too. And she's just continuously working to educate, hand out supplies and medicine, and then, like I said, just give a lot of support and physical hugs and so forth to these people. And then she flies back to the U.S. and she really has a hard time making sense of it all. And she has to sort of reacclimate to living here in the United States. And of course, she lives this life of celebrity in abundance. And it's such a stark contrast. So I read her book, and like I said, it just really touched me. It reminded me a lot of when I read the fiction book, 1,000 Splendid Suns, and learned about, it's a fiction book, like I said, but it had female, very, very empathetic female characters describing their lives in Afghanistan. And, you know, it really makes me think about being a woman and being so fortunate to be alive in this country. But then what can I do to help women in other areas of the world? What can I do? It's almost overwhelming. And one of the things that Ashley wrote about in her book, of course, she is the ambassador for PSI, and I believe she's on the board of directors now as well. So you can go ahead and look that up online if you want information about that. But she also spoke of an organization that she has, she doesn't work directly with them, but her PSI organization and this group work together very often, and it's called Women for Women International. I'm going to say that again because I want you all to get online and check it out. And I will have the resource on stresslessradio.com also, but it's womenforwomen.com. So after reading this book, and I just so happened to watch The Help and watch this other documentary at that within a week's time. So I got online, looked up Women for Women, and I signed up to sponsor someone. Now their program is really neat. They work with women in 8 different countries where war has completely devastated these women's lives and communities. Some of them have lost children or their husband, but the theme is that all the women in this program are struggling for survival. And what happens is once someone decides to be a sponsor, so they're not in the program until someone signs up. So once someone signs up to be a sponsor, the women are enrolled in a year-long program. There's a screening and a waiting list to be in the program. And during this year, they learn job skills, they get business training so that they can earn a living. And the big thing, which touched my heart completely, is that they come to understand that they have rights. And I've been talking about this the last couple of weeks with people-pleasing, and before that, I talked about self-worth. These women come to realize that they are precious humans, and that many of them, the culture doesn't support that view, or they've just been through so much that that they don't believe it anymore. You know, why could this have happened to me? How could this have happened to me? So once the women realize that they're precious and they have lives, they begin to fight for those rights in their homes, in their communities, and in their countries, in their nations. And these women from this Woman for Woman program end up being the beacon for other women in their community. So I signed up to sponsor one of these women, which means that I'm sending a $30 check each month. And I'm serious, $30 is all it takes, $30 a month. And I will be sponsoring one woman. Now, I have not received my assignment yet. It takes maybe up to a month to get that assignment, but I'm eagerly waiting to see who I get to meet her, you know, through my sponsorship package, but also to find out where she's from. Because if you want to pick one of the countries they work in, you can, but I left it up to chance. You know, I put down that I will take the woman who needs the help the most. So $30 a month. And as a sponsor, this is the part I love too. I get to write her letters of hope. And she's called my sister. She's called my sponsored sister. So I get to tell her that someone else is pulling for her. I can cheer her on and I can reinforce that whole feeling that she has rights and that she's valuable to her family, to her community, and to the world. She's really valuable. Now, some of the women can write, some are literate, some get literacy trainings, training, others don't. But they can dictate a letter back to you. Not all the sisters in these third world countries do end up writing back, but many, many of them end up writing back to their sponsor. And even if mine doesn't, I just feel so special that I can actually have personal contact with someone and make such a huge difference in their life. Because not only does my $30 a month help pay for those programs that they're doing, it also gives them some spending money so that they don't have to do things like prostitution just to feed their kids. They have another alternative. So I can't wait to get my sponsor. I will keep you posted on that. And again, these women only have one sponsor. They don't get admitted into the program until someone starts contributing. So if you want to help out, again, that's Woman for Women International. And I will, again, have the resources up on stresslessradio.com. And they touch countries like Rwanda, Afghanistan, and Kosovo, and many more. So I will keep you posted on that. The other thing I did as a result of reading this book and praying and meditating about really what can I do about this situation? What can I do for people in this world? How can I make my contribution? And I realized that it's really about refocusing my life coach work on self-worth and the preciousness and valuable nature of every human being on the planet, really everyone. And so that's one of the reasons I decided to pull out my Fearless Life class and put it online. So if you've heard me talking about that Fearless Life class more recently in recent weeks, that's one of the reasons I'm doing it this week too, because you know, it's that stress and that mental clutter that I talk about every week that really gets in the way of us being able to touch our spirit and again, see our self-worth and see how precious we are and how precious everyone else is who is in our life. So again, I encourage you to check out the website. You can check out ashleyjudd.com if you're interested in her work and what she does, PSI, and also Women for Women International. And you can read Ashley Judd's book too. It's All That Is Bitter and Sweet, a memoir. And who knows? Your life might change, and maybe you'll even change the life of someone else as well. So speaking of life changing, I will be back. I'm going to take a quick break, but after this, we are going to talk about the secret to a happy life. So stay tuned here on the Amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 Radio Network, powered by Raven International. We'll be right back.
Stress sucks. But with the Live Life Easy Stress Solution, you can get rid of up to 90% of your day-to-day stress. Expert life coach J.J. Fredrickson teaches advanced stress-busting techniques that bring more energy, confidence, passion, purpose, and most of all, less stress. Stop being a stressed-out mess and start living life easy with the Live Life Easy Stress Solution DVD and workbook. On sale now at StressSolutionDVD.com. That's all one word, StressSolutionDVD.com.
We are back here on Stress Less Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more. I'm your host, JJ Fredrickson, and thank you so much for being here, and thank you for waiting with me, for hanging on today to hear about the secret to a happy life. Yes, I'm going to give you the secret to a happy life, but you don't have to take my word for it. You might have just heard my pro to go fanfare, and that's because this information I'm giving you comes from some of the biggest pros there have ever been. So are you ready for it? Okay, here comes. The secret to a happy life is getting rid of your expectations. That's right. All you have to do to lead a happy life is release your expectations. Now, when I tell people this, because this is a huge part of my work with my personal growth, but also my work with my clients, when I first tell them this, they say, but expectations are good. You know, I have certain expectations of my husband. I have certain expectations of my kid, of my wife, of my employees, of my boss, of myself. And expectations are good. How can you be motivated without having expectations? That's what I hear. So we're going to talk about that a little today. But before we go on, I want to let you know about these masters who advised us to do this. So I'm not talking about just me, little old JJ, the life coach. I'm talking about the spiritual masters. So releasing expectations is about detaching from the outcome. That's really the big thing. And this is what Jesus says in the Bible when he says, "Thy will be done." It's exactly the same thing. He's turning over the will to his heavenly Father instead of his own ego and what it wants and what it needs. He's turning over the will, "Thy will be done." This is also in the Hindu book, the Bhagavad Gita, which, excuse me if I slayed that pronunciation because I have a hard time with it all the time. But in this, Sri Krishna says, "Seek refuge in the attitude of detachment, and you will amass the wealth of spiritual awareness. The man who is motivated only by desire for the fruits of action, of his action, and anxious about the results, is miserable indeed." Now, I'm reading a book right now. Let me get the name of it because, again, this is on my Kindle, so I don't have the cover in front of me. So I'm reading The End of Sorrow by Eknath. Oh, my goodness. The End of Sorrow, the Bhagavad Gita, and the author just left me. But The End of Sorrow, look it up. And he comments on this passage from the Bhagavad Gita. See? And he says, "Miserable is the word used here to describe people who are caught in results. Such people do not have any peace of mind. They are consumed with anxiety. Am I going to fail? Am I going to succeed? They begin to use unscrupulous means once they become afraid of not achieving the results they desire." So that is the opposite of a happy life, right? That's a miserable life full of anxiety and fear about, am I going to fail or am I going to succeed? And it's what leads them down the path of unscrupulous means. So just think about those little white lies you might tell every now and then. Yeah, I know we almost all do it. It's probably because you have an expectation. You're attached to an outcome. So we'll get into it a little more in a moment because I also wanted to mention the Buddhist path of non-attachment. And one of the key things in that is, well, let me read first that attachment is considered the origin of the root of suffering. Hence, it is the cause of suffering. And so that whole path of non-attachment in part is detaching from the outcome, just like everyone else, all these spiritual masters have said. So what gets a little confusing here is, how can we detach from the outcome? I mean, if I'm cooking dinner, I want that dinner to taste good, and it's going to upset me if it doesn't taste right, if it gets burnt or dried out or whatever it might be. Well, yes, we all have that desire being human. Of course we want things to work out well, but it's not about getting so attached that it ruins our night. So let's say you burn the steak, even if it's like a $20 steak, right? I made some $20 steaks a couple nights ago as a treat, and I did not burn them. But if I'd had burned them, was it going to ruin my entire night where I was just, I can't believe that money's down the drain, and I wasted that whole night cooking, and here's what I get. This always happens, right? I know you've had that same type of inner dialogue before. So it's about going, oh, you know, maybe you are disappointed the steaks got burnt. You know, you wanted it to be perfect, but it's like, oh, darn it. But then you move on. You release it. You release it. It's not that big of a deal. It's a steak, for crying out loud. Really. In the big scope of things, big scheme of things, not such a big deal. So it is about releasing that strong emotion that comes from having a certain wanting a certain outcome. Now, the other thing, like I said, people are often saying, yeah, but I can't, you know, it's motivation. I have to have expectations. I expect my kid to get B's, and it's for his own good. Well, that's true. You can still have goals and desires, and you can still use affirmations if you're a person who uses affirmations. You know, my son is now getting B's, my daughter is now getting B's. You know, that can really do a lot to change your mindset and change your state of being, your emotions. You can have those goals. You want to keep moving forward in life. You want to do your best. You want the people around you, especially your children, if you have them, to do their best. So it's okay to have those. But guess what? If your kid fails, does it make him any less of a person? No, you're still going to love him. That failing grade is not the end of the world. And I know you might think, yes, but he won't get into a good college and he won't get a good job and he'll end up on the streets begging. Yeah, that's called a runaway imagination. Detach from that as well. Just, you know, try to help him do his best. Do what you can to support him in his goals. Give him goals of yours to work towards. Also, you know, work together as a team. But if he doesn't make it, it's not the, don't get so attached that it ruins your relationship with your son. Because we all have seen this too. We've either seen it in our family of origin, or maybe we see it in the family we have now, or we've seen it in other households where there's all this fighting about grades or what the chores need to be done. And it's not a peaceful household. It's not a happy life. It's not a happy life. So one thing one of my coaches said to me long ago was, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And that really changed my world. Do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? You know what? I want to be happy. I want to be happy, so I am going to do my best to not have expectations, you know, to just roll with it, flow with it. Again, I can still have goals. I can still have agreements and boundaries with people, but I don't have this clenching desperation for the attachment. Now, I know that I have shared with you in the past that I was a perfectionist, and talk about attachment to the outcome, right? Because everything I did had to be perfect, to look perfect or as close as I could get, and seem effortless. So completely effortless if possible. So I had an absolute attachment to how things would look, and it made me a stressed out mess. I walked around with a tension headache at least 50% of the time. I had insomnia, and I ended up getting adrenal fatigue and a host of other health issues I'm not even going to get into right now. But it was not a happy life, and it affected relationships as well. It was not a happy life. I felt like I had to be in control of everything so that the outcome could be controlled. Does that sound familiar to any of my listeners out there? Have any of you considered yourself maybe just a little bit of a control freak? Because usually when I work with a group of people in a workshop setting or a class, very often I get quite a few people who will raise their hand if I ask if they need control or if they're a bit of a control freak. It's because you're attached to the outcome. You know, when one thing I did, and I hadn't even started my life coaching at this time, but when my daughter was born, I'm the oldest grandchild in my family, so I did a lot of babysitting of my own brother and my cousins and everyone in the neighborhood. I was a major babysitter, so I knew how to diaper and feed and bathe children, babies. I knew how. My husband, on the other hand, he's the youngest kid in his family and one of the youngest cousins, and he didn't have that experience, but I made a very, very wise decision when I was pregnant that I was going to let him parent the way he needed to. So I wasn't going to be standing over him saying, you know, that diaper's not tight enough. You know, is that enough food? I'm not sure that's enough cereal you're giving that baby. You know, I wasn't going to micromanage him and be so attached to the outcome. Now, obviously it was my daughter. So if he was going to do something that would have endangered her, I would have stepped in. But, you know, I realized that being that attached, having that many expectations about how he should parent was going to ruin my relationship with him or at least stress it out. It could possibly damage the relationship between those two because maybe he'd have all this anxiety about even getting close to her, doing anything with her. And I just knew it wasn't going to lead to a happy, peaceful outcome. So how do you know you have expectations? Well, my teacher and mentor says it great when she says that expectations are premeditated resentments. So if you're feeling resentful about something, you probably had an expectation there along the line. But I also want you to check in with your language of expectations, which include these words, but it's not all of them. Should. I should do this. He should do that. They should do that. I have to do this. I need to do this. She needs to do this. My husband needs to do this. My husband's supposed to do it this way. I'm supposed to do it this way. Expect, of course, is a language of expectation. Deserve. I deserve that raise, right? I'm entitled to that raise. But it also can be signified by wishing, waiting, and hoping. And as I said earlier, having goals and desires and wishes and so forth are still okay, but it's not about revolving your entire life around that. So if you want to learn more about expectations, of course you can read from these spiritual masters. You can read the Bible, read the Bhagavad Gita, read the works, you know, of the Buddha, the Buddhist philosophies. You can read a lot of philosophical philosophies as well. Or you can also check out my friend and mentor's book, Fearless Living. I am a fearless living coach. Let me give that disclaimer. And this book was written again by Rhonda Britton. She has an entire chapter in there called No Expectations. And in it, she's going to, like I said, give you sort of the clues that you're having an expectation, maybe before you get to full out blown out resentment, so that you can halt them in your path. And she's going to give you some great tools to, again, try to stop living a life of expectations. And again, this was huge for me, being a perfectionist and getting rid of most of my expectations. Cause like I said, it's virtually impossible to get rid of them all, but getting rid of most of my expectations has really led to a much happier and more peaceful lives. Now, I wanted to mention one more time, it's hard to be entirely free of expectations, but now I can see them and I can still roll with them. And it's all because of the work of Rhonda Britton. And I am really able to say, you know what? The stakes were burnt. Oh, well, thy will be done. It's not that big of a deal. So I encourage you to spend this week seeing where you have expectations and seeing where you can sort of begin to detach from them so incredibly emotional. Get some of that emotion out of it if you can. So we are about out of time here on Stress Less Radio. If you have any questions, go ahead. Feel free to check out stresslessradio.com. You can leave a comment. You can also check out my Facebook page. Leave a comment there. That's JJ the Life Coach on Facebook. And of course, I always have great tips and blogs, and my class, Fearless Life, is on jjthelifecoach.com. So it's been great talking to you. Thank you for tuning in. This has been Stress Less Radio, where it's all about stressing less and living more, here on the Amazing Woman of Power Talk 24/7 Radio Network.